if your client, like I said, is either VAWA or SIJ or widow, you do not have to file the I-864W anymore, but they are exempt. Okay, new public charge rules. This is really what I wanted to get to. And when I said, you know, getting medical benefits, temporary benefits due to COVID, there's a reason why I have started to tell my clients, you've got to do what you've got to do to keep your family healthy and alive. You have to do that. And that's because the new public charge rules is supposed to be a balancing test. It is supposed to be take a lot of factors into account and a lot of explanations in account. And I am starting to realize that in some cases, I may need to brief that I-944, just like I do an I-601, a waiver. Brief it and explain all why this person is not likely to become a public charge, because ultimately that is the statutory hurdle to get over. Is this person likely to become a public charge? Most adjustments are going to be subject to the new public charge form. Those that are not subject are here, asylees, refugees, TNU. If they must be in TNU status. So that is another element of our practices that we have to tweak. You know, your client must be in TNU status when the application is adjudicated. So they have to file earlier than probably they used to file for their TNU adjustment. VAWA self-petitioners, SIJ, and then these are the ones, the Afghan and Iraqi interpreters or nationals employed on behalf of the U.S. government. There's provisions for adjustment for certain American and Indians born in Canada. I've actually had one of those cases in my life. And so they are not subject to public charge rules, and Cuban Adjustment Act. So here's more explanation about the application and adjudication. So when you have TNU clients who are applying for adjustment, they can't wait till the last minute anymore if they want to be exempt from the public charge rules. This is more complicated to get into right now, but I think there is a conflict between this proclamation and the regs under TNU. Certainly the U. I'm much more familiar with U than I am with T, but it's certainly under the U visa. Now I know they're just requiring a 944 and not an 864. There are some cases where a 944 is required, but not an 864. But I think even showing that they're subject to public charge is in conflict with the U visa regulations. But I haven't really had the kind of test to the test case yet come up to make that argument. this is all brand new. This is all since October, November. So, and then pretty much like nothing's been really going on since March. So we haven't had a whole lot of time to test this out. You may have questions about this, that the answers to the questions are going to be like, it remains to be seen, but this is the best we can do right now. The totality of the circumstances, and this is where I was talking about where I think all these arguments are going to come into play. Look, COVID, just circumstances beyond my control. The totality of the circumstances may be that COVID is a worldwide emergency. And I'm not likely to be a public charge just because I needed assistance during a worldwide pandemic, a crisis of unparalleled in our lifetimes, at least proportions.
If the LA Lakers got assistance and they got PPP, then yeah. I should not be a public charge for asking for assistance.
Yes. If the LA Lakers are on a public charge, I'm not a public charge. The totality of the circumstances is the key. And that's why I have it in all caps and I'm shouting it at you. The factors to be considered are the ones listed in the statute at 212 and others not listed that I'll show you in the next slide. No one factor is supposed to be determinative, but some are heavily weighed as positive or negative. So here are the factors. The sufficiency of the affidavit of support, which is stupid. An affidavit of support is either sufficient or it's not sufficient. There's really nothing in between. However, I take this to mean as if, in those cases where they just barely make the 125%, because as we'll see, the 944 actually bumps that up to 250. the age, health, family status. These are all things that are mentioned: age, health, family status, assets, resources, and financial status, education and skills, prospective immigration status, and the period of stay. Examples of heavily weighted factors. A negative factor would be a medical condition that's going to be extensive and lifelong and permanent that would require extensive medical treatment, and the person has no private health care insurance. Positive factors would include things like the applicant is authorized to work our DACAs, our TPS people, and has an annual income of at least 250%. Okay, so that is a very positive factor, the 250%, even though legally they're only required to show 125%. Pitfalls. So that's the 944. Like I said, I think the best practice right now, just to go back quickly to the 944, your best practice is to brief it like you would an I-601. When you're filing for a waiver and you go through a brief where you state the law on public charge, because there is a law on public charge. There's not a lot of developed case law because it's just not a very common thing, but certainly you can state the statute. And then you can state things like, you know, what's a balancing test, how the positive factors are commonly weighed and how the negative factors are commonly weighed.